Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
One of the shows is coming up so that you don't have the music out there loud like that. Okay, very good. All right, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your one-hour inspirational programming, which is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'll be joined by several of my co-hosts this evening. And we have got, we've got a show for you tonight. I must warn you ahead of time that the show can and will likely be a little sensitive in nature, but nevertheless, this is a show that you will definitely want to take on, and we certainly welcome your opinion. We welcome all opinions, even when they're conflicting opinions, and we welcome that. We respect that. If you've got a friend out there that you want to really call them or text them, send them a text, send them the link also, that they will want to really tune in to tonight's broadcast. I can't say enough about tonight's topic. It's is there hope? Tonight's topic, is there hope in prayer? Or is or should our fight be an exercise of our faith? You know, that's what we're talking about tonight. Is there hope in prayer? Or is or should our fight be an exercise of our faith? We're going to get heavily into that. But before I do, we're going to do some housekeeping here. And I want to go ahead right now and bring in my co-host of the evening, Lady C. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Hey, everybody. How are you guys tonight? I hope everybody is looking forward to what this show has to offer, because I know I am. And I hope everyone has had a blessed day and a blessed week.
Yes, that is very powerful, very, very powerful. Lady C, let me just, you know, before we get too heavy into the show, and let me go ahead and bring in Benny, and I'm going to ask you the question, and I'm going to ask Benny momentarily. Tonight's topic is there hope in prayer? Is there hope in prayer, or is or should our fight be an exercise of our faith? Okay, but let me bring in my co-host, Sir Benny. Sir Benny, welcome to this tonight's broadcast. It's always an honor, sir, to have you on board with us.
Good evening. Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody.
All right. All right. So, Lady C, let me begin with you. Before we, and we welcome the comments that have already started coming into the studio this evening, and let me start with you, Lady C, and ask you the question, the first part of that question. Is there any hope in prayer? I mean, you know, you pray for something that there's a reason why you're praying, and you are hopeful that, you know, God will answer that prayer that you're hoping for. And we know faith comes into the picture somewhere, but is there hope in prayer? Lady C, your thoughts. And then we're going to bring in Monica. She'll be joining us live tonight.
Yes, I believe there's hope in prayer.
So, Lady T, having said that, go ahead, whatever you ask for.
You know, it says, the Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, it shall be given to you. So it's hope and prayer.
All right. So, Lady T, having responded to that, then are you telling me that you have every prayer that you have prayed when you have asked in his name that it was given unto you? Is that what you're telling me?
Okay. I'm going to tell you this. If I may give you a story, if I may.
Yes, of course.
Okay. When I, for years, I was in a relationship, okay, and I was praying to God for a child. I was praying to God, just praying to God, and for years, and God would not grant me any kids, okay? So one day,
okay.
God came to me in a dream and let me know that there was going to be a pregnancy. That was going to be a true pregnancy, and that was going to be a false pregnancy, okay? Well, so be it. One day, my sister ended up pregnant, okay? She ended up finding out she was pregnant through a pregnancy test. And pointed, because the child she keep having is the child I've been praying for. Well, God told me again, there's going to be one true pregnancy and there was going to be a false pregnancy. Well, my sister went to the emergency room that night to, you know, just to get the blood test, pregnancy test. Well, how about it was negative?
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, God was dealing with me saying, you know, there's one true pregnancy and there's one false. So what did I do? I went and took a pregnancy test. What came true? I ended up pregnant. Years later, I'm pregnant with my first child, you know, at that time. That first child turned into two children. So, yes, I believe there's hope in your prayer and what you want in your prayers and what you're praying for.
All right, just before we bring Sir Benny in, I want to go to the phone lines and bring in Monica. Monica, thank you, sir, for being here, our other co-host. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you on with us as well.
Oh, I'm so excited. Lady C, that was just a powerful testimony. If there is hope in prayer, I would not even be on this line tonight. You know, so yes, there is hope in prayer. And I tell you, I'm praying for the healing of the nation. That's how much hope there is in prayer.
All right, Monica, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Benny, let me bring you in with this. I'm going to ask you to address two parts of the question. One is there hope in prayer? And then secondly, is there hope in prayer, or should our fight be an exercise of our faith? Sir Benny.
Well, first of all, both of those statements are true. And second of all, prayer is not just about hope. Prayer is a time where you can go and talk to your Father about the things that you need or the things that you're requesting. And so God not only stops and listens to our prayers, but he responds to our prayers. Now, it's up to him on how he wants to give it to us. A lot of times we think just because we ask that we're supposed to have it given unto us. But like any good parent, you can't give your child everything they want. Some things are going to be too much for a child. You don't go and buy a six-year-old a motorcycle. It's too much for them, but they want a motorcycle. So God knows what's best for us. And so even though he doesn't always grant us immediately what we want, what he does is he puts us in preparation for what we're going to be able to receive later on. And a lot of us could probably look back over our lives and say, man, I prayed for that when I was a teenager, and here I am now an adult. Just like Lady C said earlier, she was praying about it in a relationship. But see, God sees the beginning, the middle, and the end. And he knows that if he allows you to have certain things, it may bring you a lot of grief or despair, or it may cause you to turn completely away from him. So he has to sometimes put us on pause until he puts us in the right position and the right mindset to be able to receive the blessing that we're going to receive. Now, when you say exercise of your faith, yes. We have to know that when we are in a pause or a waiting period after we've been praying for something, Now we got to fight our own emotions, our own thoughts, our own minds about what we want. Well, you know, I want this house, and I should have had this house, and my friends all got the house, and I don't know why God won't bless me with a house. That's the fight. You're fighting your own spirituality because now you're trying to figure out why God didn't do something. And God doesn't need us to figure out why he doesn't do something. He knows it all. And so if he just did everything for us, then we wouldn't be true worshipers of him. We wouldn't have the same humble spirit to continue to keep coming to him. He wants us to continue to come to him. He has every desire to give us the desires of our hearts. That's what he said. I will give you the desires of your heart. And so all we have to do is just acknowledge him. And if we acknowledge him and stay lined up with what we know and give him all the glory in everything, our children, our cars, our houses, our finances, our money, our loved ones, our wives, our daughters, everything, then he will continue to bless us in each one of those things that he elevates in our lives.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to phone lines early tonight, and then we're going to take some of the comments that come in. I'm hearing what we're saying is there hope and prayer, and we're saying yes. People are saying yes. And then the question becomes, or should or is our fight an exercise of our faith? And we heard Sir Benny say yes on that one. Let me go to phone line 786-210. Who do we have and welcome?
Marjorie Spicer.
Marjorie Spicer, thank you for joining us. Marjorie Spicer, let me just ask you, in your opinion, is there hope and prayer?
Definitely. Definitely. But prayer and sometimes fasting, but prayer. Prayer is the key. However, according, I never end a prayer without saying, Lord, it's according to your will and timing. Never end a prayer because I've proven that many times in life I wanted something to, a house, and I wanted to, and I see the actual, my date of birth on the address, and I said, this is mine. God knew beforehand that he should not let me get it, and he led me to a place. I always say, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord when I get disappointed. And truly so. It's according to God's will and timing because he wants the best for his children. And he said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And it's not because the word says so. It is true. But I actually have experience that is according to God's will and timing. Amen.
All right. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. We've got a lot to cover tonight, you all. I mean, a lot to cover in such a short period of time. I want to get to some of the comments. So I want to get back to as many people as I possibly can. So let's be mindful of the time when we are presenting. That goes for me, too. So let me go back to Sister Marjorie here and ask you the question. I hear what you're saying. Sister Marjorie, over the years, I have been crying and crying and crying. Crying until it makes my head hurt. Up until last week, wait a minute, what's this? This week, as a matter of fact, today's Friday. I've been crying this week, crying, and not necessarily tears of joy. I had one cry for tears of joy this week, but I've been crying this week, and it's, my head is hurting. But, you know, prior, in between the years of crying, I have been praying. So, Sister Marjorie Spicer, I want to ask you this question, and I'm asking some of my audience. I've been praying for the hope that people of color are stopped being shot by law enforcement. And yet, as I cry and think that there may be an ounce of hope, then it happens again, and it just seems like my spirit is deflated. So, Sister Marjorie Spicer, I'm asking you this question. Where is the hope in that prayer?
Okay. From the beginning of time until now, nothing new under the sun. It's just that the word says things will wax worse and worse. But what has happened in the past, 2,000 years ago, I haven't seen it happening. One day, 185, 300,000 soldiers get killed. People chop off people's hair and say, so nothing new under the sun. So there are some things on this earth that is going to be continuing until God comes.
So
God
are you
is
telling
here
me then that that's
to deliver.
God's will, that that's his will,
no.
And all
Hold
things
on
work together?
No. I'm saying that if we pray and fast until whatever, there's no one is going to experience a world free from a murder, sin. We are not going to experience that. We are not yet glorified. So we are in a world where there's evil and sin. But one thing I know, God delivers his people. God rescues his people and much more. I know that. But
all right, we're going to ask you to stand by.
We are glorified. Mm-hmm. We are going
to
have
we're gonna ask you to stand by.
Evil.
We're going to ask you to,
amen.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Beanie, I want to bring evil. You in. And pretty much the same line of questioning. We're talking about all things work together for the good. I'm crying. I'm tired of crying. You know, it's just, it gives me a headache. And you talked about God is preparing people for perhaps what's to come. I've been out there in the fight. You know, so the question becomes, is there hope in prayer or is our fight an exercise of our faith? And when I say our fight and exercise of our faith, does that mean that we need to get out here and we need to fight for change and fight that the change comes on the law, in the law, on the books, on record, not just marching, but we have to change the laws. We have to change the policy and keep that fight where the hope in prayer may be. Sir Benny.
Absolutely. I think we should be united together to fight against the injustices of this world. And see, God gave us wisdom and thought about situations. He does allow things to happen. And even though it's saddening, it hurts us, it makes us cry, but he wants us to move and work to make sure that the law of the land is congruent for everybody. And see, a lot of times we have set back and just allow things to happen. We just say, oh, well, that's just the way they treat us. Oh, and God, you think God's pleased with that? No, he wants us to be active in the name of Jesus. And so there's some things that I have, you know, issues about, and it's no condemnation on anybody. But I've been in many churches where they sit there and they preach about, you know, people having abortions and killing babies and blah, 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 blah. But then those same pastors are not out here mobilizing us to say we should stand up against injustice. Murder is murder. Doesn't matter
if
it's from
murder. I agree.
But we're
I've
not
been there
doing
too,
that. We're not projecting those things. Now, it's true. All things work together for good. But here's the question. God also said the good shall suffer with the bad. So he understood what was going to happen. He understood that these things were going to come into play. But he also understood that we were going to stand. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to stand for what's right. And a lot of us have gotten complacent because we're so used to somebody else standing for us.
Exactly.
We haven't become our own people to stand for what is right, what is good, what isn't. Oh, well, that doesn't affect me because I don't have young black boys anymore. It does affect us. It's a mental, it's affecting you. It's affecting me. That bothers me when I see our young people being shot down because they have been taught, the police have been taught that black people are threats. Anybody of color is a threat, and threats have to be taken down. So we got to stand. We got to stand for what's right. We got to stand for justice. We got to stand for better life, and we got to stand for Jesus.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by tonight's topic. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic, we're bringing in Sister Marjorie across in a moment, but we've got some noise in her background. We'll wait till we settle her background in a moment. If you're just joining us tonight, topic is there hope in prayer? Or is our fight an exercise of our faith? Should our fight be an exercise of our faith? And I believe that that's where change comes. You can pray about it, but if you're praying, think about it. If you're praying, oh, I don't have a job, so I'm going to pray that God, you know, allows me to have a job. But if I'm not going out there looking for a job, If I'm not going out there to look for a job, then how can I expect change to come with me looking for a job? I'm saying I'm just going to wait here in my house. Lady C, let me bring you in on that one. Lady C, if I'm praying for change, if I'm praying, I'm crying for change. But if I'm not doing anything, and this message tonight is for me, if I'm not doing anything, but I'm sitting here comfortably and going to my church every week and praying and preaching the word to the same people every week, then how can I expect change if I'm not getting out there where change is needed in the community? Lady C, let me ask you that. So if I'm not, if I'm praying for the job, then how in the world can I expect the job if I'm not going out there to look for it? Talk to me, Lady C.
No, you can't. You got, I mean, listen, faith without works is dead. If you're praying for a job, you got to be out there looking for it. You know what I'm saying? You're not, you just can't do it. But I do want to say, you know, with the, you know, police killing all the, you know, our youth and the black youth, I want to say, you know, not all police are the same, you know. It's just that those police that's evil out there killing them. You know, there are a lot of good cops out there of all races, all skin types, you know. And I'm like, I agree with Margie Spicer as well. You know, when she stated, you know, more and more is revealed every day. It really is. If they end up turning it off the news and things like that, we would never really know about it at all. So it's more and more is being revealed. And everything that's happening now did happen back in the Bible days. Killing is still killing. It's just being more revealed now.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Let's go to 786. 786. 319. Welcome. Who do we have with us? And welcome this evening.
Hello, Dr. Walker, and to all the co-hosts and everyone on the show. This is Sister Marjorie Cross.
All right, Sister Marjorie Cross, what are you taking from tonight's program? Is there hope and prayer? A lot of people are starting to give up on their hope. They're giving up on praying.
Yes, there's hope in prayer, because a lot of times, you know, when we pray to God, he may not give you the answer that you want, but he'll give you the answer that you need, you know, because a lot of times, you know, like say somebody's sick and you pray for them to get well. Sometimes they get well, sometimes they don't get well, because when he do answer prayer, you don't always get the answer that you would like to get. Sometimes you would like your loved one to be alive, and sometimes you pray, and they still pass away. You know, so, you know, it's like one situation, my little grandkid, their great-grandmom passed, and my daughter said, she said to them, my youngest daughter, she said to her children, you know, your grandma, which is me, you know, she always have you all praying and doing Bible study and everything, so pray for your great-grandma. And, you know, when my daughter called me and told me that she passed like about a week or two ago. And my little grandson, he's a twin, he's 10 years old, and one of them said, but Grandma, I prayed for her. You know, and that was so touching. In other words, he prayed, how could she go? You know? So I told him, I said, I know you prayed for her, but sometimes you pray and the person still go. You know, so it just shows that he does answer prayer, but not always the answer that we would like to get. You know, but there is open prayer. We shouldn't give up because, as I was saying, praying for all the young, as you were saying, Dr. Walker, about all the people who lost their lives, you know, it's so sad because when I see all these things, tears came to my eyes just watching all those things. So we cannot give up. There is hope, and we have to keep up the hope, you know, keep praying and hoping for the best. That's all we can
do. All right, thank you. Monica, you're welcome. Let me bring you in and ask you the question. Then just like her 10-year-old, the twin, he prayed, yeah, and the loved one still passed away. Monica, so let's bring you in and ask you the question. Then that 10-year-old, don't you think it may be difficult for him or her to pray again? Because if his prayers are not answered the way that he would like them to be answered, for that 10-year-old, how can he grow up expecting to have some hope in his prayers?
Wow.
Dr. Walker, I am having chills over here. I'm just so thankful for this subject. Yes, the Bible said we should pray without ceasing, and that means you cannot stop. Second Chronicles 7, verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. So we got to keep on praying. We got to keep on seeking. We got to keep on knocking. As there's an acronym for the word push, you know.
Pray until something happens.
Pray until something happens. There is not only hope in prayer. There is power in prayer. And I encourage that young man and all the rest who have prayed and God said no. Because you see, God knows what is best indeed. There are three ways we are told that God answers prayer. Yes, no, or wait. And whatever, as Sister Marjorie said, I agree 100%. Lord, please give me the desires of my heart. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done.
Okay, thank you. We're going to actually stand by. And Sir Ben, let me bring you on because the question is not really being addressed here or answered. And we're searching for some answers. Is there hope in prayer? That little 10-year-old that she just mentioned, how do you really expect? We know what the Bible says, but now we know that God says yes, no, or maybe, or wait, right? I mean, he doesn't really say maybe. He says wait, and things will happen in this time. But where's the hope with the people who are steadily praying and they're losing faith and hope, you know, and you're saying all things, but yet we say all things work together for the good. How do you tell that 10-year-old that when the loved one at his mindset died anyway? How do you tell them that? So how do you expect them to grow up, Sir Ben, with hope?
Well, the hope that it's – okay. First of all, let's understand something. That these young children, the first God that they see is in us, the parents, the grandparents, the ones that are overseer of them. So if God is in us, then they'll learn to see the God that we serve, and they'll learn to serve that same God because they see that God in us. If they don't see that God in us, then they are predicated to the things of this world. I make a comment. I said, if we don't teach our children to love Christ, the world are teaching to hate. So we
Sir Ben, I want to interject right here just for a moment, if I may, because what you're saying, you're talking about, you know, the example that we set, the first parent, the first God that they see other parents, and I fully agree. So if my granddaughters or any of my grandchildren were standing here this week and they saw me cry, you know, saw me cry, how? Then they say, well, Papa, why are you crying? And I explain to them why I'm crying. And I've been crying out to God. And now, do you think that if they see that, that's going to give them any hope?
Well, the hope that they're going to see is when you sit down and you explain to them why you're crying. And in your explanation, you have to remind them, look, son, look, daughter, I know that because of the prayers that your mother and my mother and your grandparents were praying are still being manifested. The covering of their prayers is still being manifested over our lives. So when you look at them, you say, when I look back over my life and I see all the times that God has brought me through, because God not only delivers, but he comes through. He has consistently come through in my lives. When I should have been dead, he kept me alive. When I should have not done that, he still kept me in his bosom. When I thought I didn't know any better, he gave me knowledge and wisdom about it. We have to remind our children that God has been with us from the time we were young until the time we are old. And he's still sustaining us even in this time now. Every day he wakes us up is a blessing. But the prayers of our parents, our grandparents, are still being manifested in our lives. Our parents used to be on their knees praying for us. Lord, please protect my children. Please protect them from hurt, harm, and danger. Please protect them from strangers. Please protect them from the things of this world. Please protect them from drugs, alcohol. Please protect them from everything. They were praying those prayers when we were little bitty kids and growing up and becoming young men and young women and teenagers. So those prayers have been answered because we are here we are today. We're on this line. We're
talking
about
God. How do you tell Breonna Taylor's mother stuff like this, or some of these people, Dante Wright's parents, that same thing? You think they really want to hear that now? When these have been the same thing going on for over 50 years, do you think that they can really digest and decipher this stuff right now? I'm just asking.
No.
Okay,
because
we're going to ask you to stand by.
They're in agreement.
Right. We're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Let's go to the phone lines again, 561-396. 561-396. Who do we have and welcome?
Good evening, Dr.
Right,
Joyce. Good evening, everyone. This is Sister Beverly.
Sister Beverly, thank you for joining us. Sister Beverly, what's on your heart tonight?
Well,
I mean,
I was listening
to you. Tell me more
No, I was listening to you talking about, you know, people being prejudiced, but we had that talk today while we were on the prayer line at midday, and we were reading in Acts chapter 10. And, you know, in Acts chapter 10, they were prejudice from way back then, because there is a scripture in there, a part of the scripture that talk about calling people uncommon men, and Jewish, the Jews doesn't keep company with uncommon people or something like that. And we were talking about that, that prejudice went all the way back. There is nothing that's new under the sun, nothing. So this racism and all that is something that that man has been carrying with them all their life.
Okay, are you
God
talking about
the man that created it?
You're talking
yes.
about, okay,
yes.
All right, the story about him, okay, all right. So
yeah, and you know, when the other one bowed down to Peter when he went to his house and he picked him up and said, I'm no other man better than you, or something like that. And, you know, I was like, wow, this is kind of something that's been going on for a long time. So, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And when it comes to God answering prayer, we just have to believe that God is, you know, we don't know why some people's prayers are not answered. But I can tell you something also that happened on this prayer line 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. Sister Evans just, you know, said she got the vision to have a fasting. And she talked that, you know, she's going to have the fasting. You know, their Sabbath keeper really... I'm just loving the prayer line, and, you know, who knows, I might someday be a Sabbath keeper myself, but right now I really enjoy this prayer line. And she did the prayer and fasting for a week, and on the 7th, when it's about, I think it was midnight, or almost midnight, when they came in that one of the sisters had a brain aneurysm, and, I mean, everybody started praying. And that sister shocked even the doctors. So God do answer prayer. She got well. She's not completely well, because this morning she said she's having trouble with her eyesight. But she sang this morning, you know, bringing tears to pretty much everybody's eyes that was there on the prayer line, because this woman should have been dead. But because of prayer and fasting, Jesus said something's coming, not out, but through prayer and fasting. But prayer does work. Prayer does work. I'm living proof prayer work.
All right, so you're telling me then, Sister Beverly, that if we continue to pray, then the shootings of innocent, unarmed people of color will stop? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm telling you that it can't
stop.
But we have to be united in prayer. We have to be united. One person cannot pray and the whole world change.
So we got all of these conditions, and it sounds like what I'm hearing tonight on the air is that only one group of people are the bad people. You know, there's only one, because Monica read to us earlier, she said that if my people would humble themselves, you know, the Bible says that. So
but the Lord
is talking
about Christian people. He's talking about Christian people.
But it's not
if
all the
us
Christian
people
that are being
would not
shot,
fight
Sister
against
Beverly.
Each other.
No, but
we,
Sister
we
Beverly,
can't.
it's not all the Christian people that are of color that are being shot and killed. It's not all of the Christian people who are being targeted. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that when the Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that means God knows we have some wickedness to turn away from. And until
so
we do
I,
that,
so, Okay, so the people of color are weaker. Is that what I'm hearing, Sister
Beverly?
No, the people
I'm not
of color
saying
are weaker.
People of color are weaker. No, I'm not saying that. And nobody should be getting shot by nobody. That is not how God created to be. Sin is what caused
then,
us to get to this point.
All right,
it's
we're going to ask you to stand by.
Humans are sinful nature people.
So
that's what caused all this.
Then. So that justifies it. We're going to ask you
No, it doesn't justify it. It does not justify no police shooting, no black kids because of their color. But go down the line and see where racism has come in all these years and see how racism started up back.
So
starting with racism.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sister Beverly. We appreciate your thoughts. Sister Marjorie Spicer, let's bring you back in. You know, we're talking tonight. Is there hope in prayer, or should our fight be an exercise of our faith? And, you know, this show is not intended, and I hope people don't perceive it wrong. We're not here to address giving up on praying. Not at all, not in the least. If you hear my passion, it's because I'm still holding back tears. I'm still holding back tears because, you know, you're hoping and praying that it doesn't happen again. But we can't just hope and pray about it. I believe we've got to get out there. And, yes, Sister Beverly, we do need to unite. But we need to get out, and we need to get out and exercise our real faith by not just staying behind in the four corners of our churches, but get out to actually bring about change in the laws. In the laws, that's where change has to come, in policy. Let me bring in Sister Marjorie Spatcher. Let's go to you first. How important is that, Marjorie Spatcher? How important is it that our faith, our fight, become an exercise of our faith?
Yes, sir. I'll hit quickly about the law and changing things. I'm an activist for years. I give it up now. I've been an activist, fighting for amendments to be changed and a lot of things, and that is all in order, right? But what I'm saying, there is power in prayer. But I must say, practical experience, there is a lady. I used to help her, she's a church sister, drive her, do this, buy food, everything. I have a vehicle, and she's always saying, oh, I'd like to have a vehicle, like yours, you know. And I turned to her and said, she's craving to have a vehicle like mine. I'm saying, if you cannot afford a bus fare helping you, you cannot even afford food, how are you going to afford to pay insurance and a car, get a car? I said, when is God's time? You can keep on praying. When he opens the door, he's possibly open that door that one day you will have a car and so on. But she's praying, nothing happening. But the real deal is God knows the future, and he knows what is best for us. We have not to question God. It's according to his will and timing. He wants the best for his children. But remember, he says also, when we cry and carry on, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. Part of the journey is a suffering journey, and then comes joy.
Yes. Let me ask you this a question. Where did you get that from, that you can't question God? Was it an old adage that you heard from your parents? Where did you hear that from? Let me just ask you that.
No, I'm saying I have questioned God already. I've been angry already with God and said, God, why did this happen? And carry on. And eventually I quiet myself, draw myself away and going fasting and prayer, listening and paying attention to hear what God has to tell me. When I'm angry and I'm saying, God, why and why? I get out of order. But God, in his love and mercy, he gave me a word.
We're going to ask you to stand by. I got that. I mean, there's a lot to cover tonight, you all, but remember, please don't stay with us, because you'll want to get the gist of all of this. This program tonight is not about losing your hope. It's not about giving up on your prayers. In fact, the program will, if you stay with us, you'll see that this is the time to actually exercise your faith, because this is the time that I believe God is closest to us. This is the time when I believe that his words are clear, that he will never leave or forsake us. But I just want to throw some things out there to get us, if we're sitting down and I'm looking for a job and I'm only praying about it, that job may not come. I got to get up and get out that door and go look for that job. If I want change to come, I got to be the change that I want to make in life. Sir Ben, let me bring you back in. Sir Ben, why is it so important in your opinion that we be the change that we want to be made? Why is that so important?
Because we all like to be gauged by something. We like to see results of whatever we're trying to do. We like to have someone say, yeah, you did that, or yeah, I saw you, or yes, you were in the right frame of mind to do that. And it's almost like a little bit of a self-accolade from other people. But that's just human nature, and so what can we do?
Yeah, and so my thought is, it's like, I don't know, it's like, I don't know, Lady C, let me bring you in, then I'm going to go to Monica in a second, then we're going to go to the phone line, 407-862. But Lady C, have you ever played sports? Have you ever played sports, Lady C?
Yes, I have.
Okay, which particular sport did you play?
Quite a few. I've done volleyball.
Okay, let's say volleyball. Volleyball, let's just say you felt you were pretty good at volleyball or one of those sports, and your team lost, and you're like, wow, if I didn't make those two mistakes, then, you know, we lost by one or two points, then maybe we would have won. The results could have been different. But do you do something, did you personally, on any of those sports, whether it was track and field, did you do anything differently because you lost?
No, if anything I did was just work harder, practice harder. That's about
it. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. If you're lost, because I've been there. And Ben, Sir Ben, let me bring you in. Have you played sports, Sir Ben? All right, perhaps he has on mute.
Yes, I did. I played
football. Okay, so when you lost a particular game, did you just sit there and cry about it, or what did you do differently? And you knew that, okay, another year was going to come or another opportunity would come to play the next game or play that team that you lost to. Did you do anything differently in preparation?
Yes, and like Lady C said earlier, I worked harder, but I also knew that the sport that I played in was a team sport. It was not just predicated on me doing 120%. It was predicated on everybody in the group giving 120%. And so I always felt like if we lost because we didn't give our all, or the other team was just better, and we had to acknowledge where we were short of our weaknesses. And so therefore, we focus on where we were lacking. And that's what grace does. Grace covers us wherever we're lacking.
Okay, so but when you knew that you lost as a team, but did it mean that you didn't carry your load, Sir Ben? Or do you feel you did your part in every one of those games? Or was there a time when you say, you know, if I had just made that free throw, you know, if instead of hanging out with the boys the other night, if I had been practicing, if I had been studying, anything like that, Sir Ben?
Yes. And so what I would do is I would go and I would spend hours going back through that problem situation where we weren't successful in the win, and I would just keep practicing until I had it so exact that I could do it in my sleep without even thinking about it.
See, that's what we're looking for tonight. So, Sir Ben, based on what you're saying, and I hope our audience is getting this tonight, so when we talk about change, faith, hope, and prayer, or should our fight be an exercise of our faith? So, Sir Ben, would you say that if change isn't coming, we might, you know, there's a movie, Swing Boat. I don't know if any of you all saw that movie, Swing Boat, where this one vote made the difference. So, Sir Ben, could you tell me then that you had a down pat in your sleep that now, instead of us getting angry for retaliation, maybe it becomes compelling in our spirit to say, I want to be a teacher so that I can make a difference in children's lives for to take a proactive approach. Maybe I now want to become a law enforcement officer so that I can go into certain communities and do some things to show the positiveness of police officers, that one or two bad influences of police officers don't speak for the whole department. Maybe I can now be an attorney. I can be a paralegal. I can be a law clerk. I can be a preacher even. You know, Sir Ben, should we look at what we can do to bring about change right where we are?
Well, we have to learn how to be deliberate in our lives. We have to be deliberate, strategic, and we have to be forthcoming. We have to decide, I am going to do this. I know I'm going to make a change, and I want to be about that change. And those are things that sometimes we lack in our lives. We just come up with an idea or something and say, oh, but we don't follow through. You got to follow through. You got to be strategic in what you're going to make the change about. You just can't be talking about it. You got to walk the walk, and you got to do it. And that's the most important thing, delivery, strategic, and be forthcoming.
Okay, see, so now, you know, it brings life to hope and prayer. That's what this is doing.
Yeah.
It's bringing life
yeah.
to hope and prayer because it's our fight. It's our fight. And it becomes an exercise of our faith that I'm going to look inwardly and say, you know what? I'm going to do my part. You know, even if it's a team sport. But this is, we're in this world. We're in this all together. I've got to do my yeah. part because we all of us make up the team. Every human race, yeah. you know, all the races, we make up a team. So we got where there's injustice over here. Unfortunately, some people don't see it over there. But there are other people who are unified with people of color in this fight. And so there
yes.
we have become unified, Sister Beverly, in some cases. But we got to find the ones who are unified, and we got to keep that hope going, keep that hope alive, like Jesse Jackson used to say. Let me go to the phone lines. You all, we got some comments that we're taking. Let's go to 407-862. Who do we have, and welcome to tonight's broadcast?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Dr. Walker. This is Sister Marva.
Sister Marva, thank you for joining us. What's on your heart, Sister Marva? Help us here tonight.
What's on my heart is you're talking about prayer and hope,
yes.
and the situation of prejudice in the justice system. Well, like Martin Luther King Jr., he had to do that. He did that, but he did it with his congregation and other congregations and people who were really impressed to do it and to pray about it. Everyone needs to be praying at the same time, I believe. I always believe that. Everyone needs to be praying and probably have fasted, because Esther in the Bible fasted before she went before the king. The children of Israel, when they were over the Jordan, they realized something was wrong. They went to a fast. So I think that change could come if there were people who, and remember the people at Pentecost, they stayed in the room how many days until they were of one accord. And if we could get each other, ourselves, as black people, to be of one accord and pray, I think there would be hope for change.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We certainly do appreciate your comments. Monica, I want to bring you in. I want to bring you in, and I want to ask this question here. And that question becomes, if a person is in a wheelchair and they are crying and they want change also, but they can't get out there, isn't it true that God understands their circumstance, but can't they become a prayer warrior to bring about change, to pray for something specifically, or maybe be able to even make a contribution, you know, to those who are trying to make change out there? Your thoughts on that, Monica?
Question, Dr. Walker. Indeed. Of course. And, you know, Dr. Walker, I was praying and fasting this week about what Benny said about we, well, you asked him the question and he responded so well. I was praying for help to stand up, to make a change, to make a difference. I'm like, I'm reading a book by the name of Great Controversy, and I'm like, you know, there is power. There is power in faith. Why aren't we doing anything? Absolutely, whatever your circumstances are, if we pray together and work together, we can bring about the change that is needed, that people can understand that there is a greater God than any man upon the face of this earth. And so, yes, if you're in a wheelchair, you can come up. Just pray where you are, because we serve an omnipotent God, omniscient God. He's mighty, he's great, he's everywhere. And prayer, just like my baby was sick to death, and I prayed, and I got this little song, prayer is a key in the hand of faith to open heaven's storehouse, where our treasures are boundless, resources of omnipotence. Oh, pray on, I say, God will make a way.
Well, thank you for that. We certainly do appreciate that. You know, as I gave the illustration about the young man, the person in the wheelchair, yes, they can pray, because God understands their circumstances. God understands their situation. And yet, they might be in a position to even, and I want all of us to think about this, and I'm not saying this here from my program, right? But I want you to think about it. You know, I see various programs on television that their programs are in need for something, in need for something. So if we're not getting out there in the community to be an activist, and maybe we don't feel compelled to do that, but we can do something. We can pick up the phone and encourage someone. We can write a letter about the injustice that's going on. We can do something. We can write our politicians. We can do something. You know, I've got, people that do support this program through the subscriptions that because we're trying to make a difference in the community. We're trying to make a difference in the community. And I'm not saying this here to get people to support. If nobody supported, I've been on the air next month, praise God, will be 12 years. And, you know, we haven't asked anybody for anything. God just gave me this last year to put together a mission program. And that's what I'm doing. And that's what I'm doing. But if nobody even supported it, I will continue to support this out of my pocket. And I'm looking at this. Remember I told you this message tonight is for me. I'm looking and saying, you know, no more will I just play with it. I thought I've made a difference in some of the jobs that I've done, but still, as long as we have breath, God is not finished with us yet. So he has more work for me to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The Bible says that, doesn't it, Monica? All right, perhaps we've lost
I'll answer,
Monica.
Yes.
Okay, Sister Pastor, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, so we've got to be out there. Lady C, let me bring you in. Because, see, I'm doing some, this week, when I got tired of crying, I did some soul searching, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do my part. Yeah, it's a team sport, because we're all in this together. But just like Benny said, Sir Benny said, he realized when he lost, he had to maybe step up. He worked harder. Lady C, you said the same thing. You worked harder because somewhere along the way, if all of you all worked harder, then there's going to come a time when you will win, that you will win. Because I believe the fight becomes an exercise of our faith. God will come in your fight. Your fight is, you're trying, God, I'm trying to get there. You know, I done failed that bar exam 3 times, and now it's like I'm frustrated. But I'm going to take that energy, and God has given me a formula to come up with, and I say, no, I'm going to defeat this thing. It will not defeat me. And that's what I believe all of us here tonight have got to do. If you want to support a cause in Africa, a cause in Haiti, a cause in America, a cause in Mexico, a cause in Jamaica, whatever you want to do to make a change, to make a difference, there's enough out there. Let me bring in Lady C. Let me bring you in. Lady C, how important is that? Should it just be that we make a change for our immediate families? What about the rest of the world? It's a team sport.
This is me. You know, this is just my opinion, to be honest with y'all. Everybody's fight is different. What you're fighting for may not be as important to me on what I'm fighting, mm-hmm. what I fight
mm-hmm.
for.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. yes, I want the equal opportunity, but do I need to watch the TV every day to figure out what's going on? No. That TV is constantly putting demons in everybody's head. That television, those media is what's creating this war, creating these fights. If we pull back from the social media and stop entertaining it, we won't even see it, you know? And it's putting this sad thing. Social media is pointing a picture that all cops are bad and all black people are horrible. No, not all cops are bad. Not all black people are horrible. We all are equal. There are some bad people out there, yes, but not everybody going to fight for the same justice as you're fighting. You know, people fight for their own personal reasons on the same issues they're fighting for within their own personal lives, not just with Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, or Blue Lives Matter.
All right. Thank you, Lady C. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sister Beverly, I want to bring you in. Sister Beverly, all right, let's say I don't keep up with the times. You know, I don't need to watch the news because there was a period of time that I didn't watch the news because it was depressing. And yet and still, no matter where I went, I heard about the news anyway. If I showed up at work, oh, did you hear the news, Dr. Walker? Did you hear the news? It's like, oh, my goodness, I might as well watch the news. So there's an old saying, Sister Beverly, that if you don't learn to keep up with the times, you will become victimized by the times. I mean, why is that? Why is that? I mean, you could have children, and if you don't know what's going on, then your children could become victimized because you were not keeping up with the times. Is that likely, Sister Beverly?
It's likely. I'm not keeping up with the time. I don't have a TV. I don't have a computer. I do have radio in my car, but it stayed on 2 stations, and it's K-Love and the other Christian station. So I really don't hear the news, but that didn't stop me from hearing all that went on with the George Floyd case. I hear it every day because my sister call and fill me in on what's going on. But, you know, I don't know what to say for that, Dr. Jessica, I really don't keep up. I'm one of those persons who don't keep up. And no, I don't know if it's wrong or right. I just know that I have to stay focused. And if I have to go on social media every day, I don't even do Facebook every day anymore. I've been on there for maybe 2 months. I just went on a couple of days ago. So I am the last person to ask that question because I really am one of those people who don't keep up. I'm so sorry.
Okay, no, it's no apology necessary. But let me ask you this: so with the pandemic going on, are you even concerned about the pandemic?
Oh yes, I'm concerned. But at one point, I was so consumed with the pandemic, I would go on my tablet or my phone every second of the day when this thing first started, because I was so alarmed about what was going on. But then after a while, I realized that, you know, this is taking me too deep. I would look up every state, the countries, everything. I would call my daughter because she's in the medical field and ask her what's going on, you know, but you know, I had to cut back on that too, because it was really consuming me.
Okay, the consuming part, was it fearful? Was it fear that you were beginning to feel?
No,
were you scared?
No, I just couldn't stand knowing that there's nothing we can do about it. Only God has the power to stop this thing. And as Christians,
we are divided. We are so divided that we didn't even think about what God said in 2 Chronicles 13 to 15. We, you know, some people didn't even know about it. And even until now, still, we have not done it as a Christian, as Christians. So I just like be, you know, I'm not going to let this consume me, because unless we do what God say, it's going to keep spreading, and it is still spreading.
So you think that it's our fault that this thing has happened?
No. It's not our fault. We don't know where COVID come from. We could judge China. We could judge a lab. We could judge anybody we want to judge. We have no clue where this thing came from. We have only God knows where this thing comes from, and only God can put an end to it. No vaccine will stop it.
Okay. So when you talk about 2 Chronicles 13, 15, what are you specifically talking about? Because it talks about,
Second Chronicles 7, 13 to 15. Because the Lord said clearly.
Oh, the one we heard on the show that night. Okay.
Yeah, he put that out there so clearly for such a time as this. And, you know, even the mega pastors who have a voice, they did not even come out and do anything about it.
Okay. So you're saying then that God even allowed the Spanish flu of 1918. What's the difference?
Well, who knows how the Spanish flu started? Nobody knew how that started either. God have a way of showing up to let people know that, look here, there's a bigger power than you all. And they're trying to fix COVID just like they did the Spanish flu. and you know, until we turn to God and say, God, we hear you, we see you, God, we're humbling ourselves, and we're going to turn away from our wickedness. We're going to pray and seek your face so we can have healing. But then again, this is the time when Jesus said, when these things start happening, we must look up. Redemption draws nigh.
Okay, so in 1918, it's over 100 years later, redemption draws nigh. So let me ask you,
Well, we're closer. We're closer to redemption draws nigh.
Okay, so Sister Beverly, so you're saying to me then that if we humble ourselves, when you say we, who are you referring to when you say we?
Christian
people
who call themselves followers of Christ.
But doesn't it come down to individuality and your personal relationship with God? If the other people are not doing it right, are you going to be subject to what they do, or doesn't it come down to an individual thing?
No, that's the thing, and God is not forcing anybody. Do we notice that God is not forcing nobody? God did not come down and say, I'm going to whip you if you don't do this.
You're putting it on the Christians. You're saying, if we humble ourselves, I keep hearing that.
I'm not putting it on the Christians. God put it on the Christians. Because he clearly said, if my people, which are called by my name.
Okay, so why can't one person make a difference?
Because one person, God never said one person. He didn't say if one person would seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said if my people is a whole bunch of bodies.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Sir Ben, let me bring you in. Sir Ben, are you there? We're going to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, God was trying to make a pact to find out if you can find this number of people, I won't destroy the city. So one person, two people could make a difference. Sir Ben, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, remember when he was saying if they were pleading, who was it, Abraham or Lot, when they were saying, well, God, why would you destroy the whole city? That's questioning God, by the way, you all. Why would you destroy the whole city? He said, well, I tell you what, you can find me X number of people. And then he kept reducing it. Remember that, Sir Ben?
Yes, because, again, God loves us so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes to try to save us. But a lot of times it's us that does not want to be saved. We reject him, and that's just a part of who we are. And the whole premise behind Lot, his family, his wife, they could not find not one righteous person. Not even Lot and his wife and his family were righteous people. But because of Lot's connection to Abraham. Lot had a connection to Abraham. Abraham had a direct connection to God. We can receive blessings that we were not even entitled to, but because of who we connected to, our lives could be totally changed. Lot's life was changed because Abraham pleaded on behalf of Lot to save the city.
Absolutely. And that was his nephew. Lot was his nephew. And so, God, so when we talk about
the whole world.
Huh?
That was one city, not the whole world. The whole world is full of COVID.
But I know. But it could be one community, one town at a time. That we, when we say individually, you know, God can make a pact with you. He can make a pact with me. He can make a pact with anyone. One plus God can be the majority. And so, while we're waiting, and Sir Ben said it earlier, you know, there are times when we're waiting for other people to do something, when we ourselves can be the change. We might be the swing vote. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Let me go, Sister Marjorie Cross, let's bring you in. And thanks for your patience. I want you to address this comment into the studio. We have a number of them, and I'm going to try to get through them as fast as I can. Here's a 19-year-old. He writes in. He says, I'm a 19-year-old male and obviously see the world from a totally different perspective from that of my parents and grandparents. Yeah. I have seen them pray. Sister Marjorie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Doctor.
Okay, did you hear the first part?
Yes, a 19-year-old.
Yeah, he says, I see the world totally different from the perspective of my parents and grandparents. I have seen them pray over the years without a better change in their lives. As such, how do you expect me to have faith in prayer? Sister Marjorie, what do you say to that 19-year-old briefly?
Yeah, I would say no matter what, just keep praying. We cannot give up on prayer because God will answer prayer. You know, as I said, he may not answer the way you want him to answer, but he does answer it. So never give up on prayer. We have to keep praying. As we said before, push, pray until something happens. We got to keep praying. We cannot give up on prayer.
All right, Sister Marva, let's bring you in with the same question for that 19-year-old. Would you tell him anything different than what Sister Marjorie Cross has just said?
By the time he's 19, he should have been strong enough in his faith, should have given his life to God, and to understand that, yes, he can pray and make a change.
All right, Sister Marva, let me read that again to you. Okay, let me read it again to you now. All right, here it is. He says, mm-hmm. I'm a 19-year-old male, and obviously mm-hmm. I see the world from a totally different perspective from that of my parents and grandparents. I have seen them pray over the years without a better change in their lives. As such, he's asking the question, how do you expect me to have faith in prayer? And you're saying by now he should have grown to have, you know, be a Christian and a good, but he's saying he don't see no change in the prayers that his parents are praying. So I'm asking you, how can you tell him to keep hope alive?
I can tell him to keep hope alive by saying, understand within yourself that it's an individual thing. You don't know what's in, your parents could be kneeling there and praying. You don't know what they've confessed or not confessed. You don't know what they need especially to do. You know, sometimes we pray and there's some obstacles in the way that needs to be removed. And so he, at 19, should have given himself to Christ by now and understand that sometimes you get a yes answer and sometimes you get a no answer. And sometimes there are things you need to do to get answers.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by for tomorrow. I must be missing something, you all. Let's go. Lady C, let's take this one here. This is for you and Sir Ben. And we certainly respect all opinions, you all. And I'm trying to figure out. Lady C, this one here. She says, I'm a 63-year-old black man. He says, I'm a 63-year-old black man who is on the verge of giving up hope and everything because it appears the world does not care about me. I've prayed over the years and still don't see change. What, if anything, Lady C, would you tell him?
I was probably telling him the same thing I was telling 19-year-old. You know, everybody's walk with God is differently, you know. Just continue on to pray, because God may not answer your prayer today, but it does not mean, or tomorrow, but it does not mean he's not going to answer them. Give up because your prayers are not being answered. And in some ways, what he's praying for may not be what God wants for him.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Margaret Spatcher, then I'll bring in Sir Benny. Margaret Spatcher, what would you say to this 63-year-old man? What would you say to him? He's giving up hope.
Doctor, with all due respect, I'm enjoying everybody, and I will give a chance to everybody because I'm enjoying it. I will not respond. I'm just enjoying the show, so I will not respond. I really am.
All right. All right. Thank you so much. Sir Ben, let's bring you in. I mean, a man that at that age, a senior citizen, if you please, who's given up hope, what can you tell him to try to restore some hope in that man's spirit, if anything?
I would remind him that God said that he wanted to give you life and give it more abundantly. And if you've gotten to the age of 60-plus years old, that means he kept his promise for you. He's giving you a long life. You're over 60 now. And I would remind him, the race is not to the swift and the fastest. The race is to those who endure. You have to endure. You just got to keep enduring.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. In fact, that's one of our comments that will come in as well. Let me bring in Monica. Are you still with us? All right, Monica, this comment is for you. This comment is coming in for you. This lady, she says, I'm a single mother with 3 sons and 2 daughters. I don't have any more answers for them to remain hopeful because I'm losing hope. My spirit is drained. I've stopped going to church. Monica, what do you tell her? The message tonight for her 5 children, 3 boys, 2 girls.
I'll tell her that right now she's listening. We love her. We are praying for her, and she cannot give up hope. Even if she gives up on the church, she cannot give up on God, because God will not give up on her. And he understands even the position that she's in right now, how she's feeling. But he is able, he can, and he will. If like what Benny just said, the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong, but for those who endure. If she just keeps on praying, God will do something for her like he did for me when I just never knew what else to do but to pray and work. And trust me, God will come through.
All right. We're going to ask you to certainly to stand by. We certainly do appreciate that. Sister Beverly, I want to bring you in. Sister Beverly, are you still there?
I'm here. That's the water.
Okay. Sister Beverly, this comment. This man, he writes in, I used to stand in the pulpit weekly preaching to the congregation a message of faith and hope, but now I'm considering retiring because I have given up on what I used to believe in, and that change was near. So he's leaving the pulpit, and he says he used to preach about faith and hope, and now the very thing that he used to believe in, he's given up because he thought change would come. What do you tell him, Sister Beverly?
That change will come. And he was in the pulpit at one time, then he know that the scripture said, to he that know to do it good and do it not, to him it's a sin. So pray that he will, you know, make it back to the pulpit. Even if he don't make it back to the pulpit, get his hope back, because hope, faith, and charity works together. And if he lose any of those, then what is he going to do? Because the enemy comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he has to get it back together so he can be saved. Because Jesus already told us in Luke, the book of Luke, I forgot the chapter, that not everyone that say, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. We do not want to stay up late and wake up early just to eat bread of sorrow. So please go back to church. If you don't even go back and preach, make sure you got your priority, man of God.
All right. We appreciate that. Lady C will close us out in about 14 minutes from now. Lady C will close us out. And we're going to also have, Sir Benny, if you're there, just before she gives her closing, we're going to have you give maybe a 60-second closing, and then she'll give the final closing, if you don't mind. Give a 60-second closing on your thoughts, and she's going to give her thoughts, if you don't mind. I want to bring in Sister Marjorie Cross right now and ask her this question from this scenario. This party writes in and says, my grandmother and mother have said over the years of my growing up, if it ain't one thing, it's another. I've heard that for over 50 years, and it's still true today. How do we maintain the hope? Sister Marjorie, what do you say to this person? They've been hearing, if it ain't one thing, it's another. I remember my mom when you say that, my grandmother too.
What I would say to them is that no matter what, you know, we just have to keep praying, because as you know, if it's not one thing, it's another. That means sometimes you hear so many different things going on, and if it's not somebody getting shot here, it's somebody getting shot there. It's always something going on, you know, and whether negative or positive. But no matter what's happening, we still have to keep hope alive, keep praying, and don't give up hope. Never give up hope. And also, before I go, I just wanted to say today is my mother-in-law's birthday, Miss Dulce, and I just wanted to say happy birthday to her too. She lives in New York, but then I just want to remember her also.
Okay, happy birthday to her. Please tell her that we mentioned her on the show tonight, and she can go into the archives and listen to the show 20 minutes after we end. Let me bring Lady C back in for a moment. And Lady C, I mean, here it is with that same one that Sister Marjorie had, where the man heard for over 50 years, if it ain't one thing, it's another. And I believe there's a song out there with that same thing now. Lady C, what are you saying?
To be honest with you, I really don't know. If it ain't one thing, it's another, because it's not much. I mean, much I can say due to the fact there's not a lot of things that happen to me that requires for me to understand one thing after another. Because to me, that's a repeat of trouble, you know?
Right.
That's like one of those Job incidents, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sir Ben, let me bring you in. If it ain't one thing, it's another. I mean, you've heard that. I have growing up. I mean, why did they say that, in your opinion? Or perhaps he's not there. Let me go here. Monica, let me bring you in. Monica, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Why? Why did they say that?
Because of sin, which is a transgression of the whole law, and the wages of it is death. Really so true. That could be another text. When it's not one thing, it's another. As soon as you think you're out of trouble, you're in another one. But I tell you, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I encourage us all to keep on trusting in the Lord. Keep on praying to the Lord, and he will direct our path.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask them about it. Sir Benny, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll give you this next one here. This next scenario, and we're almost out of time, you all. Sir Benny, this one says, now is not the time to give up on your hope. I believe this is the time that God is closer to us, and we must realize it, that his promise is clear, that he will never leave or forsake us. You keep praying because God has heard you and will bring about change in his time. You want to speak to that, Sir Benny?
Yes.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, too.
Yes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me.
thy rod, thy staff, thy comfort me, that prepareth the table before my own enemies. What he's saying is, no matter what happens, don't worry, don't fret, don't have fear. He is always with us. Even if he slays me, he is always with us. Even if we make our bed in hell, he is always with us. We should not have any concerns or fears about the things of this earth. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows every outcome. He knows what is before us. He said, I've given you the ability to bear. I won't put more on you than you can bear because I know you can bear it. I know you can carry whatever I've put on you. So everybody has a different level to be able to bear. So in short terms, don't give up. Don't worry about the things of this world. Don't worry about what you see. Keep pressing on. He said, dwell until I come. He said, enjoy the fruits of the labor that you have had. Enjoy your life. Enjoy everything about this earth. I made it for you. You got dominion over everything on your hands, your feet. Whatever you speak, you shall speak to the mountain, and the mountain shall be removed. Enjoy. Enjoy your life. Don't worry about all these things because they're going to happen regardless. Just like the sun comes up in the morning and the moon comes up at night. He says, every morning he feeds the birds and the animals. He said, aren't we much greater than those? So they don't worry about where their food comes from. The next day they don't worry about that. We shouldn't either. We should not be consumed with the things of this world, but enjoy everything that God has made.
All right. All right. We're about 7 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Let me go to Sister Marver just quickly. Sister Marver, what, if anything, would you take from tonight's program? Is there hope in prayer? What would you take from this tonight, if anything?
I would take away that there are people out there who are losing hope, and we need to pray for them, not just for ourselves, but we need to pray for them. I like what Sir Benny says, you know, that God cares for us and he's got our back all the time, wherever. So we shouldn't be worrying about that. But hope and faith, they go together, and we ought to grow our faith and grow our hope. And that's basically what my takeaway is.
All right. Thank you for that. Sister Beverly, what, if anything, would you take away from tonight's program?
That we should pray for one another, that our faith fail us not, because we're going through a moment in crisis time right now, and a lot of people is losing hope and they're losing trust in God. But God is real. God never changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will be God no matter what's going on.
All right. We're certainly true. Sister Marjorie Cross, let me bring you in. What, if anything,
yeah,
would you take away from tonight's program? Just quickly here. We're running out of time.
Yeah, I would say just for us to continue to keep hope alive and just continue to have faith in God and continue to pray one for another and pray for God to let us live in peace, hope, love, and unity.
All right. Sister Marjorie Spatzler, let's bring you in. I know you've been listening, and we appreciate your patience. I just want to ask you, what, if anything, would you take away from tonight's program?
Doctor, all I can say, there is power in prayer. And whatever it is, I've just enjoyed everybody's commentary. I just love it. Nothing more to say. Thank you, all
okay.
Brothers and sisters. I've enjoyed it. That's all.
Amen. Thank you for that. Monica,
yeah,
let's bring you in. Monica, if anything, what do you take away from tonight's program? Is there hope and prayer?
There is definitely hope and prayer. And what I take away from tonight's program is that God is hearing the prayers of his children, because some of the comments that were made tonight, I realized that as God's people are praying, he is teaming us together in whatever form he can use to reach us. because surely we're not only going to pray, we're going to do what we have to do to help to stop the fussing and the fighting and bring about peace. So keep on praying, people of God, and work, because we know faith without prayer is death.
And, you know, Monica, thank you for that, because those would be my very words, what you just said. That's what I take away from the program as well, to keep on praying, to keep hope alive, and to be the change that you desire in the world. And that's my commitment tonight, is to be the change, you know, by God's grace and his mercy, that he will empower me to be the change that I desire in the world. Sir Benny, if anything, what do you take from tonight's program?
That my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That I understand that he paid the ultimate price for me. Everything of this world he experienced. And he left from divinity to humanity and became just like us. And so because he became just like us, he gave us hope that we too can have the same type of salvation that he died for.
Awesome, awesome. Lady C, and sir, what do you take, if anything, from this program tonight?
To keep praying, just to keep praying. Try not to focus on the negatives. Try to focus more on the positive. Because the more you focus on the positive, it will give you a better outlook on the future.
All right, all right. Yeah, and so, Sir Ben, the last comment, if you'll speak to this, and then with your closing thoughts, and then Lady Love will close us out, also responding to this last comment. This comment came in and says, the race was never meant for the swift, but to he who endures to the end. Don't give up, because as long as there is life, there remains hope, and don't let the enemy take that from you. So I'm going to read that again. The race, and Sir Ben, you said it earlier as well. The Bible tells us that the race was never meant for the swift, but to he who endures to the end. Don't give up, because so as long as there is life, there remains hope, and don't let the enemy take that from you. So, Sir Ben, you'll speak to that with your thoughts in closing. And then, Lady Love, you'll speak to that and close us out tonight's broadcast. Sir Ben?
So that is probably one of the most important thoughts that we can have in our minds. We got to keep going. Just keep going. We are supposed to encourage each other. Keep going. Don't worry about what you fall. Don't worry about if you stumble. Don't worry about if you get hurt. Just keep going, because when you get to the promise, when you get to the promise that race has, when you get to the end, there's a great getting up morning that we're going to be able to live forever, and all the things of this world will pass away. We're not going to have to worry about sickness. We're not going to have to worry about cancer. We're not going to have to worry about injustice. We're not going to have to worry about black and white. We're not going to have to worry about any of the thoughts that we have, no mental conditions, none of that. Everything that we're facing here on this earth will be put away. And so that's a glorious time. So we cannot get weak in the moment. We're close. We're so close. We're almost there. Don't give up now, because the prize is so great that you won't ever have to ever look back on any of this stuff that we're dealing with now. So in closing, God loves us. He created us because he wanted to love us, and he wanted us to love him. We are just heirs to the throne of God. That means we've been given a birthright to be a part of the greatest of divinity. That means we are connected to him. And each one of us have salvation in our view. And if we just continue to look at that connection, continue to think that God paid it all by giving his only begotten son, that we may have life forever, forever. We were never designed to die. But because of sin, we will die. That's why the last sin to be cast away will be death. So I'm so grateful. That should excite all of us. That should just have us all jumping up for joy that we will have the victory.
All right. On that note, Lady C, the race is not to the swift, but to he who endures to the end. Don't let the enemy take your hope away. Close us out, Lady C.
I mean, not much to really say. Benny said it best, you know. So I'm going to just say, you know, just look at life this way. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Okay, right now we might be those Israelites, and God is going to bring us out of this. Just look forward to the future and know that there should be a positive change coming soon. In your mind, just focus on the positive things and not on the negative things. And that's how I'm going to close us out.
All right, awesome. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for chiming in, giving us your opinions, and I truly hope and trust that you will never give up on your hope. And yes, there is tremendous hope in prayer. Prayer changes things. More prayer, more power. Push until something happens, as they said tonight. Join us here tomorrow morning. We'll be back on Miracle Prayer Day, 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. At the top, the theme is faith over fear. You don't want to miss that one tomorrow morning. Miracle Prayer Day. If you're standing in need of a miracle, you will want to be there tomorrow morning. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, join us back here next Thursday. For the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Or if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back here next Friday, God willing, for your one-hour inspiration program. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker, and good night to all everyone on the call. I enjoyed it. Thank you. I enjoyed you all. Everybody, send some greetings. Thank you. God bless you all. Keep safe and be blessed.
Love you all.
Okay, bye-bye.
Peace out.